Hi, Todd.
Good morning.
You have outdone yourself, good sir. I'm familiar with your TV work. What you did on Dirty John, the Betty Broderick, was just glorious. And then your darker, you know, you've done darker things, you know, like The Sun. But now here, your lighting and lensing is glorious. For lack of a better word, it is glorious. The way you use the light, so that we feel like we are in Palm Beach with that very specific coastal light. I love that about lighting with a good cinematographer like yourself, that you can make the light, you can manipulate it so that we get the feel of the region and the meridian lines. And you do that here. And you've got huge windows you get to work with for interior lighting. It is just spectacular. Where did you even start with this one, Todd?
Well, first and foremost, you know, it takes a whole tribe of people to do this. So the support and the crew and the talent behind all this is up there as well. So obviously it wasn't just me, without a doubt. I mean, briefly, it's almost like if you shoot in Montana, there's really not a bad angle,
right,
at the right time of day. So the point here is, in these sets, these costumes, you know, the whole thing, there really wasn't a bad angle. So how it was started, basically, I guess, you know, we kind of had great inspiration from the pitch deck and what Abe visually was trying to provide with, you know, his story writing and then all his looks from Slim Aarons, the photographer. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's probably come up a number of times. But they were such wonderful references for this show. And I think that's usually the basis of everything. You know, where do you kind of, what do you start with and where do you add your own ingredients and take it to the level that you want to take it with the story writing?
Once you started getting the scripts to break this down, you have so many locations, so many different sets here, Todd, and each one has its own look thanks to the production design, the set dress, but also how you're going to lens it, because you're limited in movement in some, camera movement in some areas, certain spaces such as the guest house that Robert lives in, that, as I have said before, I want to live there. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. You don't take the camera wide. You keep it closer. You're really on a mid-2 into borderline close-up at times. It's so beautiful. It's so warm and inviting. We're in the Delacorte Mansion, and you've got stuff everywhere, and you give us it's a wider shot so that we can really experience everything. And you break everything down like this. What was your approach with each of the locations? And then you get these spectacular galas that you get to shoot. Havana Nights is almost like a huge music video.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is. Well, you know, to answer that question, basically, I think what I've learned in all this time doing this is the locations own you until you figure them out. And certainly practical locations are like that. Now, the sets that John Carlos and his team put together, you know, obviously were beautiful, and the aspiration there was to try and, you know, make it as shooter-friendly as possible. But until we kind of got in there and started throwing a few angles out and going with the mantra of how we were shooting this, we weren't really sure. But, you know, Robert's pool house absolutely was just stunning. And the colors in there, the softness, you know, the vibrancy, all of that just added up. So once we got in there, you know, we always wanted to try to get a wide as much as we could to show where we're at, but more than not, we ended up in tighter frames because it just felt right. You know, it felt more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like we were with Robert in his space that way.
Talk to me about shooting the big, you know, some of the big scenes, such as Havana Nights or the beach ball, because they are truly spectacular.
Yeah, you know, that's a whole team effort, and obviously that starts with Abe, who has a vision of how he wants it. He's so masterful about all of that in his head and how he kind of wants to capture that. And so for us to, you know, visually follow his storyline is so fun because we can add our own ingredients in there and try to, you know, keep the camera moving and to get the right shots and the right moments. And that particular scene, Havana Nights, which we had, was kind of interesting because there was actual dialogue in the dancing. So it wasn't just a big dance sequence. We had to cover the dialogue that helped, you know, move the story. So that was kind of fun. And with the choreographer and Abe and, you know, the whole team, they really kind of set it up to make that as easy as possible and to make it as visual as possible and as fun as possible. Because we kind of had different ideas going into this, but then those kind of turned, and we said, well, no, this is actually the way to do this, and it worked out great. But, you know, those are fun for me because I can have all kinds of different lighting effects. We had fun with the spotlights, which a show like that, you know, you could just have them sweeping and kind of land on people at certain times and keep it, keep the energy alive and like you're really in the moment of it. So, and also using multiple cameras. So that was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot on that. Just in a number of ways, but particularly staying low and wide and keeping it that way as opposed to high and wide, which Abe pointed out made the dancers look a little shorter, which he was totally spot on with. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, how many cameras did you use for the Havana Nights sequence?
Well, I think we only had three in there at the most. If I can remember correctly, I don't think we got a lot more because once we honed in how we wanted to shoot the dialogue, you know, we couldn't bring a whole lot of other cameras in there because we had to focus on, you know, one dynamic of it. So I think the most, maybe we had four, but I want to say three, for the most part in there.
Now, were you shooting for the bulk of this? Well, for that, for Havana Nights, also for the beach ball, were you shooting handheld sticks, dolly track, what shoulder rig? What were you going with?
That was one of the interesting things about Havana Nights. I think we started, well, let's do Steadicam and move through here. But as it turned out, it felt like we did a lot more of the Technocrane in the right position to capture as much of the dancing and the interaction and the changing of the dancers as we could. But so that felt right for us, and it felt more efficient, I think. So the B cameras would get in certain angles and get a, you know, get other kind of cutaways and other moments just to keep the whole dance alive.
And now with the beach ball, that's much more intimate. I notice you've got a lot, we've got more tight shots that are tighter because of the way it's tables, it's set up with the tables. Some are up on little risers, some are here, some are there. It's not as interactive with people throughout the whole room. They're not chasing a ruby necklace in the beach ball. So.
Right. Well, I think it's also the kind of the close of the series, and I think it kind of, you know, vignettes into Maxine and what she's going through and what she learns and all that. So it's kind of interesting how it I don't think it was actually, I'd never thought about it that way, but it seems like we kind of push in a little closer in those episodes and those scenes and get in there for sure to feel a little more of the emotion and the storytelling.
You know, something that I found is really interesting. There's some dutching of the camera. I don't see a lot of it, but when I do see it plays really well with Ellen, Allison Janney's character, because you want to make her seem a very foreboding presence, overlording over Maxine. And it really, it's very, very effective out at the pool where you're dutching up at Ellen and down at Maxine. I really like the judicious nature of that was used in here. You never, for the most part, you have all the ladies. Generally, they're all eye level, same eye level. And I really appreciated that.
I know Allison is definitely, you know, she's a little taller, so I think maybe naturally it worked out that way. But I know On Abe's episodes, I know he was always pushing to kind of stay lower, which had such a nice dynamic. You know, we could in some of those places and some we couldn't, just depending on, you know, what was above us in the set. But, yeah, no, I think any of those angles in a story like this, which it can really help visually, I think, are, one, they're fun, but they, I think, also fit the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Especially with Maxine, as we see her up and down. You know, she's on top, then she's in trouble. Then she's on top, then she's on trouble. Really, it fits so well. What cameras were you using on this one?
We were using the DXL-2, the Panavisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I mean, it's just such a good, it's got a good sensor in it. And it really fit to kind of these colors and vibrancy, I think. So, you know, David Landsberg, who started the first block, because I was on another show, he had the fun of picking all that stuff out, you know, finding the right tools for the show, and he certainly nailed it. And it was really a nice look, and I mean, it still is a nice look.
What kind of lenses were you using on this one?
We had the Panaspeeds from Panavision, and I think we started, you know, we'd always thought we wanted to do this anamorphic, or use anamorphic lenses, even if it was going to end up being a spherical, you know, aspect ratio, just because those lenses, they're so classic. But we were having a tough time, I think, finding some of those, the ones we really wanted, because they're such in such high demand.
Yeah.
And so they got the Panaspeeds and some really cool they were like filters that went on the front that kind of distorted a little bit on the edges and kind of gave that feeling of an anamorphic lens. So they really worked out well.
Yeah, I was curious because it does have the look and feel of being shot anamorphic. You've got some nice fall off on the edges, and it feels period appropriate for what would have been what would have been in use in 1969.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Beautifully done. What was the most challenging aspect for you as cinematographer on this series?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there were some of the challenges, I think, were mostly just some of the locations, you know, and being able to bring that huge scope in a location that maybe didn't have that scope. So some of that was the most challenging. Most everything else kind of fell into place because it was so well executed with the whole creative team. Mm-hmm. The fun stuff for sure was some of the water stuff. I know when I first spoke with Abe way back when we, you know, before this went on, there was always this water theme. And I thought, man, where we can pull that off and do underwater shots or use that kind of water aesthetic would be very cool. And he agreed, and we tried to get it in where we could, even if it was just a swimming pool, you know, or whatnot. So that worked out really well. But those are only challenging in making sure you, you know, get the right crew and the right people. The ocean stuff was a little bit of a challenge because I think we had a certain space we wanted, we couldn't get that, then we had to resort to another space, and that was a lot more work for our whole team to make that work, including visual effects. But I think it worked well. But other than that, no, I mean, it was just a pleasure to be on this show. Cast was amazing. You know, you'd mentioned a shot about Kristen going up and down. I remember we had one shot, and I forget who we were on, but I was on Ricky, and Kristen was playing this part, and she was like, she'd go down out of frame, and we'd stay on Ricky, and you'd see her feet like pop in the frame, and she was so active, and it was so funny, and we were looking at it, how in the world did that just happen, or how did she do that? But moments like that were really fun and really special to be part of.
Wow. Now, there is that great scene where somehow poor Kristen as Maxine ends up in the ocean. Did you guys shoot in a tank for that one?
Well, that's what I was referencing earlier. I think we wanted to get the tank at Paramount.
Mm-hmm.
Which might have been a little bit easier for us, but that was not doable for a number of reasons. And, you know, I think we were still into the COVID world. So you know, an alternate, and that ended up being a pool, a large pool out in the valley, I believe. And, you know, there's just a lot of extra work by putting blacks in the pool, and, you know, blue screen and, you know, all of that. So that was a bit of a challenge, but that's part of why we're there, to work these challenges out. And I know that was a very tough day for Kristen because she was in the water the whole time, which is never fun. But I think everything worked out great. And, you know, for what it was, I think it's a really great moment.
I think it's spectacular. And especially when you also consider poor Kristen, she's wearing that gown that has layers and layers of pleated chiffon. And when that gets wet,
right. It
is, I've worn chiffon gowns before like that, and they are heavy as can be. So she had to be dying.
Yeah, she was such a sport. And I know there was one moment where before we even got going, and we're like, well, she's not going to be able to, you know, swim with her arms in there. So I said, well, let's put a platform where she can stand and have, you know, and she's going to be in there for quite a while. So I think that helped out quite a bit. But it's those moments, you know, you don't really know till you get in there and start seeing how things shape up. And certainly knowing she was going to be in the water for such a long time, and, you know, the water had to be heated to a certain temperature and all that just to make it comfortable. So those are those challenges that are fun, because until you kind of get there and see what's laid out, you can't finesse them and detail them. But I think we finally did, and it's just, how fun is it with the seagull, and how fun is it with the space landing there, you know? So it worked out well.
The space landing is hilarious. And the way he comes out of the nose, it's just, and then just stands up and it's like, hi. And
right.
You know, I love that comedy, because anybody that followed all the NASA missions, the Apollo missions, in 1969, you know, it's like so cloistered and nobody could see any astronauts and they couldn't be near anybody. And they got put into little motorhomes for 2 weeks. So to make sure they had no outer space and moon contamination on them. So I found that hilarious. Hilarious.
Well, then in Maxine's drive, too, she's not even concerned about any of that. She's like, hey, you want to go to a party?
Yeah.
So she's looking for an opportunity in a dismal situation. It's pretty classic.
And this is where your work is really shines in this series, because it stays light and bright. Nothing ever gets, you're not using negative space. There's nothing dark, such as something we might see in The Sun, you know, your series, The Sun. It's all light and bright and upbeat. And it really draws from your visual tonal bandwidth, draws from Maxine's character. You never disappoint. And you always keep things happy. That's the word, happy. And I love that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think the, you know, obviously it was much different for me tone-wise and color-wise, but I thoroughly enjoyed it because, you know, I had to be a little bit more precise and, you know, I couldn't think the way I normally do with some of the shots and stuff or the freedom, you know. I mean, we had freedom, but... you know, I had to think a little bit differently that way. But, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, we just had a great crew that was there, supportive, and knew what they were doing, know how to achieve all the what they were trying to achieve and be part of the storytelling. So it was really a wonderful experience. Everybody was super-duper cool and extremely professional, which is, to me, is amazing because, you know, you don't always get shows like that. So, this was one of them.
And you got to shoot Carol Burnett.
Oh, how amazing was that? yeah, I mean, that was just something. I mean, even talking to her because, you know, she was from, I think she grew up in Texas, and I live in Austin. I'm not a Texan, but I do live in Austin. So we were talking a little bit about where she grew up, and she had shown me some pictures of a house that they had moved where she grew up. And she literally had this picture. She goes, see those marks on the floor? I go, yeah, I guess I can kind of see those. She goes, well, that's where I used to skate in the house. And those are marks from her skates when she grew up.
My God.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. So that was fun to kind of see that side of her. And, you know, she's such an icon and a legend. That was quite a pleasure to work with her.
What would you say was your, as you look back on the shoot, what would you say is your favorite moment of which, or the moment of which you are most proud in this series for you and your team?
Well, that's a great question, because there's so many moments, so I can't remember all the great moments, but there was a really wonderful storytelling moment. Abe was directing, and we had a scene. It was, I think they were Maxine and Doug were getting ready for the ball. At the end there, and we had a scene that they were playing into a mirror, and it was a three-piece mirror. And we started shooting, and, you know, the way my mind thinks is, okay, well, we're going to do this, and maybe we'll do a little coverage here, and, you know, we can kind of move a little quicker in the wides and do all this. And as we got through it, we just kept shooting, and in the same setup, same camera, and the actors were moving perfectly in the reflection. So as it all went through, everything was being covered in the reflections. Our camera didn't really move. Maybe we pushed in a little mirror, pulled out of the mirror, but we never panned or moved around. We just kept everything in the reflection. So we finished the scene, and Abe's like, okay, we got this. I said, well, do you want to now go into this? He goes, well, I don't really think we need to. And, you know, we were talking about it. I said, you're right, I don't think we need to. But there was one moment when Douglas goes to the very end, and I thought we might cover him when he stops and looks back. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have a proper light on him back there because I didn't think we'd go that far. But anyway, I just asked if we could do that one more time. I put a light there. We did it, and it was all really a wonder. And I think that was the kind of moment that you look for as a camera person, to be able to do a scene and cover it as simply and elegantly and not be in the way of the photography and let, you know, the whole scene play out in one shot. And it was really awesome.
That scene and that shot with the mirrors is stunning. Stunning. I love that shot. It's also, from a story standpoint, it's very metaphoric for the reflections and what they're seeing. And so it just works on so many levels. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful, Todd.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it was fun to see because I wasn't sure how we would get into that emotional moments, but they did it for us, and it worked great.
Do you know if there'll be a season two? And if so, will you come back?
These are very interesting and good questions. I mean, I don't know. I would think so. It's such a wonderful cast. It's such a wonderful creative team. I would think so. As far as me coming back, I would love to come back. Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And, we had a great team, and I think there'd be no reason that we can't all assemble again and do another great season.
Because the way this one ends, boy, oh boy. You know, it's...
Yeah.
Episode 10 ends, and I'm like, where's episode 11?
Right. Yeah, you always want more, don't you? That's good storytelling.
Now, are you working on anything else right now, or taking a breather?
No, I had that breather because of the strikes, so I am currently up in Vancouver getting ready to start another Apple show, looking forward to that, too. You know, it's going to be a little darker. A little different storytelling, but that's the fun of the business. You get to do so many different looks and styles, and I certainly don't want to be pigeonholed into one of them. So I think I've crossed the spectrum, so to speak, that and cover a lot of different angles.
I think you have. For all the years I've been watching your stuff, for, you know, more than a decade. So yeah, I think you have. To go from something like an episode of 12 Monkeys to Palm Royale with Betty Broderick thrown in the middle.
Yeah. Well, that's the fun thing about it, you know. You just never want to get – I don't ever want to get comfortable in something because, you know, I'm somebody who just observes so many things, and I like to put those observations into visual storytelling. So whatever chance I can get on something different, something interesting, eclectic, or just downright funny like this, you know, I'm game.
Well, Todd, just job so well done. I love it, love it, love your work here. I love your work anyway, but here you just outdid yourself. And I can't thank you enough for taking time to talk with me today about Palm Royale.
Well, thank you so much for reaching out. It's been a pleasure.
And I hope we get to chat again in the future.
Amen on that.
You go have a great prep in Vancouver for your next shoot.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Bye-bye.